the way. Hi, my name is Jeannie. This is Abby and Tony. We're from Calvary Chapel Life, a church in the neighborhood, and we're doing a spiritual questionnaire. And we were wondering if you would help us out by answering a few questions.
Great.
Okay, the first one. According to a recent survey, there's a rise of interest in religion today. Are you more interested in spiritual things now than you were 5 years ago? Yes or no? Okay. Do you see God as a supreme being to whom you must ultimately answer? Okay. And can I ask you, do you attend a church, temple, or synagogue? Great. Can you tell me the name of it? Okay, here's another question. Do you think that a religious group should help people prepare for life after death? And what was your name? John? Okay, John. Nice to meet you. John, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? You know, I would have answered that way, too, in the past. So, you know that the Bible tells us that we can know for certain? It says, these things were written that you may know for certain that you have eternal life. Isn't that great news? Can I share with you what the Bible has to say a little bit more about spiritual life? Thank you. Well, let me ask you another question. This one sounds similar to the first one, but the one before. It's a little different. If you were to die today and stand before God, and He were to say to you, John, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to Him? So you would say that you're a pretty nice guy, that you're compared to other people. You think that you've lived a pretty good life, and you try to keep the commandments. Okay, those are all great answers, and I'm glad to have met you because you seem like a nice person. But I have something really exciting to share with you right now, some really good news. Heaven is a free gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. I'm sure you know what it means to receive a gift, right? We all like to get gifts. I know my daughter gets excited whenever she gets a gift. So when it comes to Christmas or a birthday, I have a lot of fun buying her something special. But let's just picture if after I give her a gift, let's say for her birthday, she opens it up, she's all excited, and then I turn around and hand her the bill and told her, I expect you to pay me back. What would that make it? Would it still make it a gift? No, it wouldn't, because she's paying back. Well, God loves us, and He wants to give all of us His gift of heaven. The Bible also says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So notice it says, by grace this gift is given to us. That means no one can pay God back by trying to earn it. And that also means that no, there's not going to be anybody in heaven who's bragging about how their good works got them there. Now it's important that we understand that heaven has to be a free gift because of the nature of man. The Bible actually says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So can I ask you, what's your definition of sin? You're absolutely right. That is what sin is. But did you realize that sin is not only the things that we do wrong, but can also be the things that we're supposed to do, but we don't do? In fact, Jesus even takes sin to another level by calling out our thoughts as sin. He says that if we look at somebody with anger, we've committed murder in our heart. Now, the truth is that every man sins. Some sin more than others. But let's just think about ourselves right now. Maybe if I tried really hard and was able to only commit 3 sins in one day, that would be a good day for me. Let's say I did one wrong action, I had one bad thought, and there was something I should have done that I knew, but I didn't do it. Maybe I didn't help that little old lady across the street. Okay, so I've only committed 3 sins in that one good day. That'd be a pretty good day for me. Would that be a good day for you? If I average only 3 sins a day, and I could keep that up, that would mean that I sinned at least 1,000 times in 1 year. And if I live 70 years, that would be 70,000 sins. That's a whole lot of sins. Now, sin is breaking God's law. Can you imagine if you broke a traffic law, let's say 70,000 times? Maybe you got 70,000 parking tickets. and they finally caught you and called you in before a judge. And when he looked into your book of records, he'd make you pay and probably put you in jail, right? Now, I know that I sin more than 70,000 times against God. The Bible tells us that there's also a book in heaven that's sitting on the throne of God waiting for judgment day. Can you imagine a book like this? It's what I'm showing you. The first page is your birth certificate. The last page is your death certificate. And in all these pages in between are recorded each day of your life and everything you've ever done, thought, or should have done. I don't know about you, but I know my book would be full of sins that I'm ashamed of. Now, heaven is a perfect place. So even one sin will keep us out of heaven. Jesus said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So in order to get into heaven, we would need to be perfect. Well, that leaves me out. What about you? Does that leave you out? Do you see why we can't save ourselves? No man can, and so heaven has to be a free gift. In order to better understand all of this, we need to look at who God is. Most people know and enjoy the fact that God is love. The Bible tells us that God's love, and He's merciful. He does not want to punish us for our sin and wants us to have the free gift of heaven. But the same Bible also tells us that God is just and must punish sin. The Bible says, God will by no means clear the guilty. So God loves us and He wants us to join Him in heaven, but as a just judge, He must punish sin because we've broken His laws. So let me give you another example. Let's just say, this is just fun. Let's say I became really desperate. I needed money to pay my bills, so I decided to rob a bank. Now, I've never done anything like this before, so I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just desperate. So I bumble it up. I get caught. The money that was taken is given back, and then I'm hauled off to court and I stand before the judge. I tell the judge, I'm basically a good person. I just had a desperate moment and I'm really sorry for attempting to rob the bank. And if you could just let me go, I promise you I'll never do anything so dumb like this again. My question is, if this was a good and just judge, would he be able to just let me go? Of course not. The law was broken. A price has to be paid for breaking the law. What if all this had taken place, let's say, now in a small hometown you grew up in? The judge knows you well. And in fact, this judge loves you and your family. If he was a just and good judge, would he then be able to just let you go? Of course not. Because there's others that are going to come and stand before him, and he's just and he's fair and he has to do what's right. Because God is just and fair, even though He loves you very much, He has to punish sin. So there's this dilemma. But God came up with a solution for the dilemma. He sent Jesus Christ to the earth. So let me ask you, who do you say that Jesus is? You're right, He's a good teacher. He's the Son of God. He came to earth, He died on the cross. All very right answers. But let me help emphasize, you say Son of God, Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man, God-man. In the Bible, there are many different titles that Jesus has, and one of them is the Word. In the Bible, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So let me say that again, but let's insert Jesus' name, because that's one of His titles. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus left heaven, a perfect place, and put on human flesh, and came down to earth to live with us. Even His own disciples recognized that Jesus had come down from heaven and was God, and worshipped Him as God. Thomas, one of His disciples, answered Jesus and said to Him, my Lord and my God. He worshipped Him. While Jesus was here on earth, He never sinned. So because He was perfect, He was able to be our substitute and pay for our sins. He took our place, and the penalty was that we owed by giving up His life and dying in our place on the cross. Let me give you another illustration. Let's again take another look at that courtroom scene. I'm standing before this just judge who knows me well and loves me, but can't let me off because he has to uphold the law. And he knows I owe a debt that needs to be paid, right? What if this same judge with compassion took off his robe, stepped down from his judge's seat, and came and stood right next to me? He told the plaintiff to mark down on my record book, paid in full, next to my crimes, because he was going to take my punishment for me. Then the guards handcuffed the judge and took him away to jail. How would you feel towards that judge for taking your place? Bewildered? Grateful? Sad for him? The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So all our sins, my sins, your sins, they were all put onto Jesus. He became our substitute and took the judgment upon himself so that we could be forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, the last words he uttered was, "It is finished." And the Greek word for that is, he used the word tetelestai. The word tetelestai was used as a business term back then. And when a bill or something was needed to be paid, but then it was paid in full, they had a stamp, and they would stamp the word on the bill, tetelestai. Do you remember that record book of your life where everything you ever did wrong is listed in those pages and you're going to stand before the judgment seat? Well, because Jesus took upon himself your debt and paid it in full for you, every page in your book of heaven can have the word tetelestai stamped over every sin. Paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. When you stand before the Father at judgment day, there will be nothing to keep you from entering into heaven because you trusted Jesus to take your place and to pay for your sins. Not only did Jesus die in your place for your sins, but he rose again, and he conquered death and has prepared a place for us so we can join him in heaven. I think that's pure love for you and me. But remember, we said in the beginning that this heaven is a gift. This gift has to be received. I gave a gift to you or my daughter. She would have to take it in order for her to actually own it. And the way each one of us receives this gift from God is called saving faith. Now, faith is like a key to get into heaven. You know, there's only one key that opens the front door of your house or my house. And I'm sure you have other keys on your key ring like I do for other doors of your car. But only that one key will open your front door. So faith is the key to open heaven's door. It's easier to explain what faith isn't to start with. This faith is not just knowing facts about him. You could say you know the president, but actually, you only know facts about him, right? Not unless you really do know the president, but I doubt it. And you don't have a relationship with him just because you've memorized all the specifics about his life. So if you walked up and tried to knock on the White House door and asked to be let inside, because you said, you know, I know all these facts about the president. Let me in. Would they let you in? No, because you don't know him. And he doesn't know you. So mere head knowledge is not enough. In fact, in the Bible it says, you believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So facts is not enough. Faith to open the door to heaven is also not just asking for God to help you out in hard times. Like maybe someone you love is sick or lost their job, and they call it to God. You know, it's good to call out to God when you need his help, but that's not going to get anybody into heaven. That's only temporary faith. What you and I need is what we call saving faith. Saving faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. I will realize that there's nothing I can do to earn or deserve to get into heaven. I know that Jesus died on the cross and paid for all my sins, and he's the only one who can save me. Saving faith is not only believing in him, but also trusting in him for my salvation. For example, see that chair? Do you believe that chair's real? Of course. Okay, do you believe that that chair would hold you up if you went over and sat down on it? Well, why is that chair not holding you up right now? Because you're not sitting in it. For saving faith, you must trust yourself to Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord, it says in the Bible. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and you and your household. It's the promise from God. does this make sense to you? Would you like to receive the gift of eternal life in heaven? Great, then I want to pray with you, if it's okay. Before I do, I want to clarify with you, just to make sure you understand, because this is going to be the biggest decision you've ever made in your life. When we pray together, you will be by faith transferring your trust to Jesus Christ. You'll repent and ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, to take your place and pay for your sins for you, because you realize you can't pay for this gift yourself. You'll be asking Him to take charge of your life, to help you do a U-turn from how you used to live and help you to resist sin and become your Lord. The Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Since this is something you really want to do, let's pray together. I'll start and then you can repeat the prayer after me. Does that sound good? Amen. God has heard your prayer. And now you're a child of God and you've received this gift of heaven. I'm so excited for you. Would you do me a favor and just read this verse? I want you to hold this little Bible in your hand and read what the Word of God says. Right here, John 6:47. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." That's you. So let me ask you the question again that I asked you earlier in the beginning. First one, if you were to die today, are you sure that you'll be going to heaven? Yes. And the second question is, if you were to die today and God asked you, John, why he should let you into his heaven, what would you say? Because you're trusting in Jesus to take your place. Right on.